Regardless of where you stand regarding the conflict of Ukraine, it is a fact that with every military conflict, there are innocent victims of that conflict. And we are seeing that in the millions of people that are being displaced from their homes with potentially no home to return to. So for as long as the conflict is going on, I'm including this segment with every one of my podcast episodes, an opportunity for us to take a minute and a moment for those who are suffering because of the conflict. For those of you who wish to participate, please hit the pause button for a moment for a thought or a prayer. There is continued and urgent need for humanitarian assistance. There are many respectable and notable organizations out there, and I am appealing to all of you to provide support in whatever way you are comfortable with. I know that we are all going through difficult times, so even if you're not in a position to make donations, helping to spread the word would be immensely helpful. With the help of some groups that I belong to, I've compiled a list of some organizations that are helping with the current conflict. And you can find this list at www.coyote.com/Ukraine. While it's not a comprehensive list, it does offer us a place to start. Once again, that's coyote.com/Ukraine. Thank you for listening to this. I don't often get involved in causes because there are just too many. But while this conflict might hopefully soon be resolved, the humanitarian need will be ongoing for quite some time. Please find a couple of minutes to see how you can help. And like I said, even if it's just to help spread the word, that would be wonderful and amazing. Thank you.
As we exit out of the pandemic and more into the digital age, we are finding that video and video production is in higher demand and in higher need, especially for small business operators. Quite often when it comes to small business operators, we talk about know, like, and trust. And what better way to promote these elements than with video? So today we have Craig McNichol with us with Epilogue Productions, who is... You know what? I'm just going to let Craig say hi and introduce himself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Craig McNichol. I'm from Epilogue Productions. First time ever being recorded by a podcast, but, you know, here to talk about video business and how great video is.
Well, you said it's your first time being on a podcast, and welcome, by the way, but you said it's the first time being on a podcast, but how long have you been doing video production?
Oh, for a long, long time. I've been at least 15 years. And I mean, that has evolved from working on television, working at a marketing agency, and then finally operating my own sort of video business, helping businesses promote themselves with video.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've got a lot of knowledge in there. And I'm looking forward to some of the gems that you're going to be able to drop here with us. So I think first thing that I think that our listeners will be interested in is what sorts of video are small business operators doing today? What's the popular, the top, two or three things that people are doing?
First off, so there's two types of videos. They're promotional and like informational. Most people go for a little promotional video for their website, which is usually if you're a store, you're touring your store. If you're a software company, you have a little animation for your software. Just kind of showing your product, maybe introducing your team, just promoting yourself. The other type is more of an informational video, and those are videos where you're trying to see your people, you're trying to make yourself seem more like a thought leader in your space. So you're giving basically free information for people, usually on a social media feed. So when people look at your video, they're like, this person really knows what they're talking about. Maybe if I want to hire this person for such and such in the future, they're where I'm going for. So that's just kind of two categories of video.
Hmm. And do you do both?
Yes, I do. Okay. I mean, really, I'm situated. I'm I position myself as a promotional video production specialist, but really the informational videos end up being promotional in a way. They're just kind of done in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of small business operators, you'll see them that they do a lot of it themselves now, right? Yeah, especially with cell phones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to make your own video these days. I'll ask the first one first. What are some mistakes that you see people making their own videos doing?
Yeah, I'm surprised sometimes. Like, people are used to videos. They're used to how they looked, but it's usually the very basic things. So the first thing is, what I always say is, in a video, you have to be able to see, you have to be able to hear, which seems silly. But for instance, if your microphone's way far away and you're trying to speak, people can't hear you. They can't hear your message. So it's almost worse than not having a video at all. And the other is, people have to be able to see you. So that's usually getting to be a bigger mistake, because it's basically people, instead of lighting their face, they're lighting behind them. They've got this big light behind them. They're completely in shadow. On some computers, you might be able to kind of make out, but a lot of computers, they'll just be in darkness, which is not quite as important as being able to hear you. But still, if you can't see you, it just looks unprofessional. And it just depends on how you want to portray yourself online, right? If you want to portray yourself as a shadowy figure, you can go ahead. But I imagine most people wouldn't want that.
Or the incognito witness.
Yep. It's true. That doesn't help you with your trust.
Probably not. And the other part of it is, at what point should they start looking for somebody like you, a video production expert, to start helping them? I mean, we got cell phones now. So
yeah.
why turn to a video production expert?
I mean, you've really got to decide how you want to portray yourself online, right? And I mean, it could benefit you to kind of have an amateurish feel. You know, you're like, oh, I'm a mom and pop shop. I'm a very approachable business. We're amateurs, so you can relate to us. But I mean, at a certain point, especially if you want your business to grow, you want to have it. I feel like you'd want to have something looking a little more polished. You know, like, I'm sure everyone who's ever owned a business might have tried to make their website at first, right? But at a certain point, if you want to compete with other people who have, especially if you want to compete with businesses that are bigger than yours, who have a professional website, they've got a big company, another company do for them. And especially if they have a big production company and they're doing a video, you're not going to really be able to compete with that person. So this is just my long-winded way of saying that it all depends. It's all how you want to portray yourself online. And I think if you want to portray yourself as more professional, if you're at the point where you're like, I really want to go to the next level, then you should look at hiring someone instead of trying to just do it all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree, because, you know, when you're doing things yourself, number one, you're probably not as good at doing it yourself than an expert that does it for a living. And number two is, even if you are really good, because you're not doing it all the time, that is probably taking a lot longer than for you to do than for somebody who does it all the time, right? So, you know, as small business owners, I always say small business operators should be spending time on doing things that make them money and not spending time on things that are, you know, preventing them from doing, because everything has that opportunity cost, right? So yeah, I think that, you know, at a certain point, once they want to get past that, really, like you're saying, that mom and pop feel of, you know, doing it themselves, that they really should look for somebody with a little bit more experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And so in terms of those videos, I've seen, you know, we all see the ones, the little selfie videos that people make for themselves. And then we see the TV commercials that are a huge budget, right?
Yeah.
What's in that middle area? Because I think that that's a lot of that space is not really very, very much touched upon. People look at it, and if there looks like high production value, it looks really scary and expensive. Is that the case?
So I can totally see people getting afraid when they see big budget production videos. I mean, the whole idea of the middle ground is trying to figure out a way to make it look as close to those sometimes million-dollar commercials for much, much less budget. So I don't think people should be too afraid of that. People need to know that anything that's big budget right now eventually is going to be easy to do small budget, if it isn't already. Because as soon as someone invents, I don't know, like a really awesome camera to be used for Hollywood people, some other person is inventing a more user-friendly, more fair price camera for smaller corporate production houses to be using. So anything you see on TV that's big, that looks super big budget and looks very unattainable, chances are somebody out there, people like me, are looking for ways, and a lot of times have found ways to give you that big production look without having a big production.
So from what you've said, where do the costs start adding up? Is it in the special effects that you were talking about, or is it other areas?
I mean, yes, but special effects could definitely grow up your budget a little bit, because I mean, basically anything that takes more time is gonna cost you more. I'd say if I could really generalize it, I'd say it's the more specific you want, the more it's going to cost. Like, for instance, if you go on like a free stock footage site and you happen to find something that works for your video, great, you can use that. But if you want someone with red shoes climbing up a certain mountain in the Himalayas, then that's something very, very specific. And the more specific you get, the more it's going to cost you. And I guess the same thing applies, like if you have a certain shot you want, like for instance, if you saw a really cool crane shot in a Hollywood film and you say, I want that shot for my store, that might cost you a lot of money. Same thing. I guess one of the best places to spend your money is a really good voiceover artist. But on the same token, if you have if you're willing to have different sorts of voices for your video, it can be all right. But the more specific you want to get, like if you want like a Hollywood name actor, or you want someone unionized, or you want someone with a really, really distinct voice, it's going to cost you more money. Yeah. So in general, so the more specific you want, the more it's going to cost you. So that can range from, if you want a really specific special effect, if you want a really specific piece of stock footage, if you want a really particular voiceover, it's going to cost you more money.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that these are things that people, especially small business operators who resources are scarce, should really be thinking about. I think that these are great. These are some great insights as to what people should be looking for and what they should be asking. But I think another area where people are asking, you know, would benefit people to hear are, what are some, when they're looking around for video production houses, what are some red flags that people should be aware of? So, you know, you see some of these really crappy late night TV commercials. Like, how do we avoid, I mean, even though they're not, they might not be commercials, right? They might just be, they might be some promotional video that is like a corporate video or something. But how do we avoid those really bad, really bad production houses?
Yeah, you know, besides looking at equipment, which some people wouldn't be able to tell which is good equipment, what is bad equipment, I'd say in general, you really have to find someone who actually cares about your video, which sounds obvious, but I feel like if I've ever seen a video that looks really bad, it's usually because whoever did it just didn't care too much about the outcome. When you're doing a video, there's like so many little moving parts that you've got to worry about. You got to make sure the sound's right, the picture's right, the lighting's right. And I guess a red flag would be if you find a production house, maybe, oh, lucky you, you found a production house that might be a little cheaper. But if they're the type of production house that is shooting like, you know, 50 commercials in 25 hours, then they only care half an hour as much about your commercial. So chances are they might not care as much about your commercial as other commercials. So that's just something you want to look at. If you want good quality, it takes time and it takes a production house that cares about your work. And I guess it's hard to tell who cares, but I mean, it's like anything else, it's like choosing a life partner. You talk to them, you look at their references, and sometimes you'll still get unlucky and end up with someone who might not be the best fit for you because they don't care so much. But yeah, that's the main thing I would look out for. Just making sure you find someone who's enthusiastic about your project, because the quality is going to come through.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic. And what about the process? What should small business operators expect when they are dealing with a video production house?
Okay, well, I mean, if you're looking for a video production company, I would be very honest with them about how much you want to be involved. Because as a video person, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, we love talking video, right? So we will brainstorm with you lots and lots about your video. So what you should expect if you want to be really involved, and I think you should be somewhat involved because it is your company, you have your own vision for it. Expect to sit down for like a brainstorming session with whoever the video person was. You should have an idea of what your goals are for your video, whether that would be more customers, which seems to be the most popular one, or less customer support calls, anything like that. So brainstorming can be really fun. We can open up all sorts of possibilities. And once you come up with a concept that you kind of like, that fits your budget, if I haven't mentioned already, just be very upfront with your budget. Most video production companies will work within your budget, and it's good to know right off the bat, because you might end up with somebody, you'll brainstorm for half an hour, and then they'll go, okay, here's your budget, it's $2 million, and you'll be like, what? I this is impossible. So being upfront with your budget. So once you're done brainstorming, it's coming up with a shoot date, finding out how, yeah, basically you've come up with your brainstorm, you've come up with what you want, then it's up to the video production company to come up with a how's this going to happen. So that's usually coming up with a shoot date, finding all your elements, whether it be actors, whether it be voice talent, filming for a day. Afterwards, once the filming's over, you should have already seen either a storyboard or script of some kind. So you should have sort of an idea of what's going to happen afterwards. So if they're a good video production company, they will allow you to review something, whether that be a link or whether, I know, they'll if you have a screening or something like that. then you should be going back and forth with feedback. I mean, that's what, at least what I do. I believe lots of video production companies do that. You go back and forth with feedback for a bit, and then don't stop until you're satisfied with your final product. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the process I would expect most people to go for. I mean, every video is a little bit different, but so it's hard to generalize some things, but that's basically the process.
And that reminds me, because you just mentioned there also kind of what the goal of the video is. You know, what are things that people should be asking themselves before embarking on this? A small business operator should be thinking about in terms of, what's it worth to you? That sort of a thing, right? So why are you making this video? What are some things that people should be thinking about along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. Cause yeah, I think when you see that you're, the amount of time and effort and budget that goes into things, you've got to know that this is worth it for you. So I would definitely, look at your goals. Usually that's getting more customers for a lot of people, but if you can go deeper into that, that's even better. Like if you can say, I want to be perceived as more trusted, or so definitely look at that. That leads right into if my next point would be just look on how you want to be perceived. Mm-hmm. And if that involves, and I think for a lot of people that involves having more video, because most people want to be perceived as more trusted, more professional, whatever you want. Decide how you want to be perceived, and decide if a video's how is the best way to do that. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think because what about the duration? Like, how long they want the video to last for? Right. Like, is it if there's something that they're going to be, just using for a campaign versus something that they're going to be having on their website for like 5 or 10 years or something like that.
See, this is a really good point. And I think this is something people need to hear is that, so if you go online, if you search for best length for a video, it's going to say under 2 minutes, right? Which is very, very general, right? And people hear that and they hear, okay, I've got 5 minutes worth of contact. I'm just going to talk really, 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 really fast. And to me, it's just like 2 minutes is just a really guide, and it depends on your industry, and it depends on how people are going to be how long people want to be engaged in your particular content. So I'd say not only if by all means go with a 2 minute guide as a starting point, but just come up with 2 minutes worth of good content. And if you end up coming up with only a minute worth of content, do that. And if you end up coming up with 5 minutes worth of content you think is really, really important, then you got to decide, okay, are my customers going to be willing to watch this 5 minutes? Or is it better for me just to get rid of some of these points? Which can be heartbreaking, because there's probably like so many great things about your business you want to put in a video, right? But if it's a 5 minute video and your best points aren't till the very end and people don't get to those points, then they might not get to those points. So it's better to don't just talk fast. Come up with two good minutes worth of content. And I would also say in a general rule, it's like, the more money someone's willing to spend on a product or service, the more they're willing to watch a video. Like if I'm looking for a soap online, I'd probably be okay with like a 1 minute video. but if I'm looking to buy a house, like if I'm, I, If I'm rich enough to buy a $20 million home, I might watch a 20-minute video on that home, you know, because I'm trying to educate myself. Right. So if that makes sense, certain industries you can get away with longer videos, but in general, two minutes or less is a good.
But isn't that
social's different? Yeah,
right. Sorry, but isn't that where you come in though? Because you know, for them to come up with great content, okay, they've come up with, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes all this content. Isn't that where you come in terms of how to cut things and like package them out in different ways so that they can use different snippets?
Yeah, I mean, usually a common story would be if someone has a really, really long script and they insist on shooting it the whole thing, right? We'd shoot the whole thing. I show them a 10-minute video. They'd be like, great, it has all my points, right? Then I would cut it down and I would cut out a whole bunch of points. I'd make a 2-minute version of it, right? And sometimes they'd be like, wow, it's only 2 minutes. I don't even know what you cut, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you want. If you have the most impactful points in there, you can lose some of your own points and sometimes not even notice.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of different usages, like on different platforms, right?
Yeah.
You would cut that differently, correct?
Or yeah, not? Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, social's way different. Instagram doesn't allow over 60 seconds, right? But I would go for even 30 seconds for Instagram. I mean, the good thing about Instagram, right, is if you have, like I said, 10 minutes worth of points, come up with, you know, 20 different 30-second videos, and you can do one for each, because then you could be popping up lots of good quality content for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's amazing, and I think that's what I'm seeing a lot of people to start doing right now, is just to come up with that one big content, and then after that, being able to splice it up in different ways. And we've gone on for quite a while. And I don't want to take up too much of your time. So if people want to ask you more questions, you're open to that?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I mean, even if I love talking with other businesses, even if they're not interested in a video for me, they're for sure able to contact me and we talk video.
Fantastic.
Or anything.
And how do people get a hold of you?
Okay. So you can go to my website. It's epilogueproductions.com. Or you can send me an email. It's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at epilogueproductions.com.
Amazing. I will have all that information in the show notes. Thank you, Craig, so much for being with us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
This was fantastic. This podcast can be found on Spotify, iTunes, and all your other podcatchers. Please rate and recommend to help with the algorithms and to help grow this community. And please let us know your suggestions about things you'd like for us to talk about, or if you just want to chat. We can best be reached at podcasts@coyote.com. I'm Thomas, and thank you for listening to the Coyote Small Business Podcast.